Good morning. The Regulatory Reform Committee will come to order. Amanda, please call the roll.
Chair Rommel.
Here.
Vice Chair Rodriguez.
Present.
Ranking Member Eskamani.
Here.
Representatives Daly. Gio Lombardo. Goff Marcil.
Here.
Gregory. Grieco.
Here.
Harding.
Here.
Maggard, excused. Mariano.
Here.
Nixon. Umfroy. Plakun. Robinson.
Here.
Sir Roy, excused. Toledo.
Here.
A quorum is present, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, just wanted to reflect that I'm here too. I was missed.
Please note that Representative Overdorf is here also. Okay, now we can really get started. That Representative Overdorf is here. Please, if you have anything that makes noise, silence it. And if you're speaking, remember the new microphones. They're green, but you have to hit the button so it's yellow also. And I appreciate everybody following the COVID protocol for amendments. I know it's a little bit different than last year, but everybody gets a star. Did their job properly last night. Nothing was late filed, so thank you. Members, welcome back. We have four bills to hear, and let's get them started. Up first is going to be HB 137, Fire Sprinklers, by Representative Harding. You are recognized.
Can you hear me okay? There we go.
Can. Yep,
very perfect. Good. So with this bill, we're going to follow the advice from our speaker, Pro Tem Oliva. We're going to follow the three Bs, bold, brief, and be gone. So I just want to go over this issue. It's a technical bill, and I will explain it the best I can. Today, I'm presenting to you House Bill 137, an act relating to fire sprinklers. Let me start by putting everyone at ease that this bill is not dealing with high-rise sprinkler retrofit from past years. This bill seeks to address three technical and clarifying changes to Florida Statute 633, which deals with fire preventions and controls. The first section of the bill deals with the cleaning up of the definition of a contractor five to line up with their scope of practice under the NFPA, which is the National Fire Protection Association handbook. The second area addresses the cap on fire sprinklers that can be installed by a fire sprinkler contractor without an engineer's seal. This area has not been updated since 1965. The current language cap for fire sprinkler work is 49, and we are trying to increase it to 249. And that is for the alteration or deletion of sprinklers to an area if there is no change in occupancy per the Florida Building Code without an engineer's seal. The last section of this bill is clarifying that the fire protection system, as it pertains to the water supply pumps and fuel piping. So basically what this means is that a fire sprinkler contractor can run fuel lines for their own fire pumps, because right now they can't do that. This is not making it to where they can do fire pump piping for work for jobs that's not theirs. So they can't go out and bid this as a separate scope, but just simply as it pertains to their scope, they can do that work. And that is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Rep. Harding. Members, there is a strike call, but if you have any questions on the bill as presented right now, or do you want to wait for the strike call? Okay.
I'll wait. I can wait.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Greco. All right. Please describe the strike call.
Yes. So this adds back in that Contractor 5 may alter and repair underground piping. This was accidentally removed in the underlying bill. And as we look to raise the fire sprinkler cap from 49 to 249, as long as the building occupancy does not change, this strike call adds a reference to the Florida Fire Prevention Code dealing with the building occupancy. This change has been run by the CFO's office, and this was something they wanted to do to make sure to clarify this issue. And the last strike call clarifies that that the water pump and fuel pump piping issue that I just went over, that basically that this isn't a scope of work that they can now go out and do separately from their work. This is strictly that their fire pump, that this is the piping they can do for their fire pump.
So that is the amendment, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Representatives, members, any questions on the bill as amended? Representative Greco, you're recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative, is this the first bill that you're presenting as a newly elected member of the state legislature?
Mr. Chairman, this is the second.
It's the second bill?
Second. Yes, sir.
Well, this is the first bill that you're presenting in this committee?
It is.
All right, there you go. Even better. Right, Mr. Chair, can I ask another question?
Yeah, sure, absolutely. Go, you guys should go back and forth.
Sorry, I'm getting nervous. I apologize. I'm putting my old man glasses.
Representative Greco, is this the first time you've asked Representative Harding a question?
Yes, it is, Judge. Yes, it is, sir. Can you, my understanding is there a new addition to the fire code this year?
You're recognized.
I'm not aware.
One more question, Mr. Chair. The existing fire code, do you know how many pages there are?
A lot. Too many, probably, actually.
Thank you. Nothing. Thank you.
Representative Nixon, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Hi, Rep. Harding. How are you?
Good.
So, you know, I'm a community organizer, and I thank you for taking my call on yesterday. Just wanted to know, if we can put on record, you all spoke with all the stakeholders who would have been impacted before you proceeded with this bill, correct?
Correct.
Yes, and thanks, Rep, for that question. Yes, we have, from the CFO's office, the fire marshals, the industry, both the regulating side of it and the contractors, so, and also the engineers as well.
That's it? No additional questions. Testimony, we have public testimony on the bill as amended. Tim Meehan,
waiving in support.
Waiving in support, appreciate that. Erica Prutzman, from the Florida Fire Marshals Inspectors. Sorry.
Just Tim.
All right. We're still figuring this out a little bit, too. Okay. Members, are there debate on the bill, on the amendment? No debate. Representative Harding, you will recognize the close on the amendment?
I'll waive close.
Waive close. Are there any objections to amendment? With that objection, showing that amended as adopted, we are back on the bill as amended. Members, are there questions on the bill as amended? No questions. Testimony on the bill as amended. Now we're back to it. Eric Prutzman, Florida Fire Marshals and Inspector Association. I believe he's waving in support. Eric Prutzman for Florida Fire Marshals and Inspectors, waving in his support again. Edward Briggs, American Fire Sprinkler Association, Florida Chapter. Thank you. Waving in support. Tim Meehan, waving in support again. Thank you, sir. And Carl Rasmussen from the Florida Fire Sprinkler Association, waving in support. Everybody's waving in support. We love that. Members, we are on debate. Any members wishing to debate Representative Harding on this bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Harding, you will recognize the close on your bill.
I'll waive close.
Having waived close, Amanda, please call the roll.
Representatives Daly?
Yes.
Escamani?
Yes.
Gio Lombardo? Goff Marcil?
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Greco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy? Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Clayton? Robinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Chair Rommel?
Yes. Members, by your vote, we will show HB 137 Fire Sprinklers as amended, reported favorably. Congratulations. Up next, we have HB 329, Alcohol Beverages by Representative Tomko. You are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee.
House Bill 329 seeks to codify the spirit of Governor Ron DeSantis's executive order allowing for the sale and delivery of beer, wine, and spirits for takeout and delivery. As we're all aware, COVID-19 has created a tremendous strain on the restaurant industry. Due to government-mandated closures, they have had to adapt to serve the needs of their customers. The governor's executive order has helped restaurants accomplish this goal while also providing a convenience to customers. Mr. Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you. Members, are there any questions on the bill? Ranking Member Escamani, you are recognized.
Thank you so much, Chair. I was just curious, Rep, would it be a friendly amendment if we added alcohol to go into committee rooms?
Representative.
Absolutely. I was honestly going to come bring you guys some, but couldn't get to the store in time this morning.
Okay, but that would be a late filed amendment, so we're probably not going to see that today, but thank you. Yeah.
Maybe at the next stop.
All right. No additional question. Public testimony. George Chimizo from the Uber Technology, Inc. and affiliates, waving in support. Good business for Uber. Brewster Beavis, Associated Industries of Florida. I know he's waving in support somewhere. Gregory Black from R Street Institute, waving in support. Diego Echevera, waving in support. And Samantha Pudgett from the Florida Restaurant Lodging Association. Is Samantha here? You are recognized, and welcome back.
My name is Samantha Pudgett. I'm the General Counsel for the Florida Restaurant and Lodging Association. Thank you so much for the opportunity to address the committee today. First, we want to thank the sponsor, Representative Tomko, for her hard work on this good bill. As she mentioned, this has been a devastating time for the restaurant industry in Florida, and for us, this is not an alcohol issue. This is an issue of survival. Some restaurants have closed and will never come back, and for those that are hanging on and hanging in there, this is one of the things that's helping them do that. We've requested testimonials from our members on this bill, and this is some of the feedback we've received, and I just want to share this with you so that you understand the positive impact this bill is having on this industry. We had a member say, without alcohol to go sales, we would likely close. Another member said that alcohol sales were instrumental in keeping costs down and margins where they could survive. And one bar in Lakeland, who's also a food service establishment, said, this is what kept our business alive. We would be remiss if we didn't recognize the other companies and organizations that have worked on this issue, and you've heard from them, they have waved in support. While we haven't agreed on all aspects of this issue as it has developed, I've been very impressed with the collaborative spirit that everyone has brought to the table. I can't speak for the other parties and their positions, but I have been deeply grateful for the work of the manufacturers like Anheuser-Busch, the distributors such as Discus, other vendor organizations like the Independent Spirits Association, and our delivery partners like Uber. We are all impacted by this bill in different ways, and all have stepped to the table to work productively and openly. As this issue develops, we invite the hard questions, and we look forward to working through those questions with you. With the advent of vaccines, there seems to be a light at the end of the tunnel, but we know that for our industry, we are a very, very long way from full recovery. We are grateful for the lifeline that the governor extended to us through the executive orders, and we ask for your support to make sure this lifeline remains. Those are my comments, Mr. Chair, and I'm happy to take any questions if anybody has any.
Thank you. Any questions? Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you, sir.
Members, we are in debate. Any debate?
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Representative Plankin.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to be voting yes today. I think the beer and wine is a very good idea. However, I think including hard liquor, I think, is a bad idea. Let's say a couple goes into a restaurant and they may order a beer or a glass of wine or maybe a bottle of wine. But they don't normally go in and order a bottle of Jack Daniels to be brought to the table. So I think throughout my time here, I've always kind of put those in separate piles, the hard liquor versus beer and wine. So I'm voting yes today, but that could change based on in commerce. So I hope you'd consider amending that. And we, you know, it sounds like you're thinking about it, so I appreciate it.
Thank you. Representative Daly, you're recognized.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and thank you to the sponsor, Representative Tonko, for your time this morning. The conversation would have flowed a little easier over a beverage, but it's fine. I appreciate it. I do support the bill. I want to see it move through the committee process here today. I appreciated our conversation, and I know you've been working with a lot of the stakeholders over some language tweaking when it comes to the whole distilled spirit bottle concept, so I appreciate that and your willingness to do so, and I'll see it again in commerce. So thank you very much for working with us on it.
Representative Harding, you are recognized.
I just wanted to thank the sponsor for this bill. Just like all of you, there's restaurants and hospitality industries in my district that were hit hard, and this is really about us getting out of the way as much as possible in the spirit of entrepreneurship and giving them another route to keep business going. So just wanted to thank you for the bill.
All right, seeing no additional. Representative Escamani and then Greco.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. I just also want to thank the bill sponsor. If anyone's ever been in District 47, you know we are the hippest and coolest district in Central Florida. I'm a little biased, but we are home to so many main streets, and being able to do cocktails to go, for example, has been a lifeline for a lot of our small businesses. And it was a good pilot to see if there would be anything negative from that, and there wasn't. And if anything, a lot of these small businesses saw more customers coming in for those craft cocktails. And so I really appreciate the feedback shared by my colleague, Representative Scott Plakin. I know the bill sponsor is working on some of those valid points around, like, getting a bottle of hard liquor compared to, you know, the liquor stores that are paying for licenses and that kind of stuff. And we don't want to see the liquor stores be negatively impacted by this effort, and I think there's a consensus around that too. So thank you for your work on this. It's going to be really good for my district, and I look forward to voting up on it.
Representative Greco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm up on the bill. Obviously, I represent South Beach, so it's a big deal for my constituency. I even own part of a bar restaurant, and which will obviously benefit from it. We've had a lot of requests for this, so I'm up on the bill, and thank you.
Seeing no additional questions, Representative Tomko, you're recognized to close.
I just want to thank each and every one of you for your thoughtful questions and discussions today. And yes, we are working with stakeholders to secure this language to be in the best posture possible. However, I will say that this is one of the bills that will go through this year that we have seen in effect for a year. And we have seen the benefits of this, and I just know that it's important to my community, it's important to many of yours as well, and I look forward to having additional conversations as we move forward, and cheers.
Representative Tomko, having closed on a bill, Amanda, please call the roll.
Representatives Daly.
Yes.
Escamani.
Yes.
Jill Lombardo. Goff Marcil.
Yes.
Gregory?
Yes.
Greco?
Yes.
Harding?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Nixon?
Yes.
Umfroy? Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Plakin? Robinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Chair Rommel?
Yes. Members, by your vote, we will show HB 329 alcohol beverages license reported favorably. Congratulations. Up next, we have HB 369, construction contracting regulation exemptions by Representative Rodriguez.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, colleagues. This bill is very simple and straightforward. It basically provides a licensure exemption for building Chicky Huts to the Seminole Tribe and the Miccosukee Tribe. That is the bill.
Members, are there questions on Representative Rodriguez's bill? No questions. Any appearance cards? No appearance cards. Members, we are in debate on Representative Rodriguez's Chicky bill. No debate either. Wow. You did a good job. Representative Rodriguez, you are recognized to close on your bill.
I was going to wave out, but I'm very offended. Very offended that our ranking member has not even made a comment on my bill. I'm going to take that personal, but I close. Thank you all for that, and I hope I earn your support.
Great. If that a compelling close, Representative Rodriguez, Amanda, please call the roll on HB 369.
Representatives Daly.
Yes.
Escamani.
Yes.
Gio Lombardo. Goff Marcil.
Yes.
Gregory.
Yes.
Grieco.
Yes.
Harding.
Yes.
Mariano.
Yes.
Nixon.
Yes.
Umfroy. Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Placon. Robinson.
Yes.
Rodriguez.
Yes.
Toledo.
Yes.
Chair Rommel.
Yes. Members, by your vote, we will show HB 369, Construction Contracting Regulation Exemption, reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, we're going to take a five-minute recess while we wait for Representative G. Lombardo to come back from other committees. So during the TV timeout, don't go too far. Thank you. The Regulatory Reform Subcommittee will come to order. Amanda, please call the roll.
Vice Chair, or Chair Rommel.
Here.
Vice Chair Rodriguez.
Still present.
Ranking Member Escamani.
Right here.
Representatives Daly.
Here.
Gio Lombardo.
Here.
Goff Marcil.
Here.
Gregory.
Here.
Grieco. Harding.
Here.
Maggard, excused. Mariano.
Here.
Nixon.
Here.
Umfroy. Overdorf.
Yes, ma'am.
Placon.
Here.
Robinson. Sir Roy, excused. Toledo. Quorum is present.
Thank you. Members, welcome back, and Representative G. Lombardo, you are recognized to present HB 403, Home-Based Businesses.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chair, Vice Chair, Ranking Member. We have the opportunity to present HB 403, Home-Based Businesses.
Home-Based Businesses have been very significant to Florida's economy. They have been the launching pad to the most successful companies in the world, Mattel, Amazon, Disney, Hewlett-Packard, Google, Apple. This bill simply defines home-based businesses and removes some of the unnecessary regulations and fees that local governments put on home-based businesses. It stipulates that the home-based business is second to being a residence. This is a home first, period. It doesn't take away local government's ability to regulate parking, zoning, noise ordinances. The exterior of the home must comply with the local laws. This bill does allow up to two employees that do not live in the residence to work for the home-based business. It removes the requirement of startups and home-based businesses from getting permission slips from starting a business on their private property. Some local governments will charge up to $500 just for being a home-based business. It also removes the garage provision. Garages have been probably one of the most successful startup incubators in the world. And some cities do not allow home-based businesses to operate out of their garage. It also allows home-based businesses to have up to two employees. Local government cannot impose extra fees or restrictions for home-based businesses. It simply must be consistent with other rules and regulations for that specific industry. They cannot create anything extra for home-based businesses. And finally, the home-based businesses may challenge any violation of this statute. And either with the city, and either party may recover attorney fees. That is the bill, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Members, are there questions on Mr. Representative Lombardo's? Representative Grieco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I have a few questions. Do you mind if I...
You guys need to be courteous and go back and forth. It's fine.
Thank you, sir. Representative, good morning. Good
morning.
Does your bill address any sort of time restrictions? Does it create any time restrictions in which one can run a home-based business?
It does not. And I'll tell you right now, a lot of home-based businesses will start, and it'll take 4 or 5 years for a business to start to scale. And that's why I think the two-person external employee provision is very important, because as a home-based business, you start to scale, you start to need more employees, and once you reach that point where you kind of outgrown your business, then you start to move on. So there is no time.
So, okay, so you talk about expanding the business, and my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, it limits it to two employees that don't live in the home that can be a part of the business, correct?
Correct.
Would it be accurate to say that your bill does not address independent contractors?
It does not, no.
So there's no limit on the number of independent contractors that a business could have working as part of the business. Is that an accurate statement?
That would be accurate.
So would I be able to, if I owned a single family home and such business, let's say I live in a city where strip clubs are allowed, is there anything stopping me, as long as I don't put like a big sign in front of my house, from turning my living room into a strip club, a 24-hour strip club, according to your bill?
So we can create all the hypotheticals in the world, but at the end of the day, this does not take the city's ability to cite for noise, to cite for parking. I mean, if you're operating a 24-hour strip club, there's going to be parking issues. I'm pretty sure of that. So it doesn't take that away. And the independent contractor part, no, that piece is not in there. And you know, I'm willing to have a conversation.
Is there anything in your bill that would prevent me from turning my living room into a 24-hour convenience store?
Again, it has to comply. You know, like I said, I think we could create all the hypotheticals in the world, but at the end of the day, this simply just states that businesses can be, you can operate. It doesn't specify any industry in this bill, does not. So if that's kind of your question, there is no industry. But there are already regulations and rules and ordinances that the cities have externally from the home. So the bill states if you're from the street, it has to look like a residential home. Yeah, there's noise ordinance issues. There's all those things that businesses already can, or municipalities can already cite. So, and it's just being consistent across the board. There's also zoning, right? Some cities do not allow strip clubs to be in their city. So those are the type of things that it does not touch zoning.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay, Representative Harding, you're recognized.
Thank you, Representative, for bringing this bill. I had a couple questions. Do you mind, Chairman?
You guys can go back and forth.
Okay. Do you know how many home-based businesses there are in Florida? It's a pretty big number.
So there's not really much of a Florida study from what I researched, but approximately 40% of all businesses are home-based businesses. And I would say that's probably closer to 100% of businesses start up from the home first. I do know it says here, 60% of home-based businesses are services and construction companies, and 90% of home-based businesses are sole proprietors. So, you know, those are the kind of numbers that have come out, and this is an SBA report, but it just shows that the significance that a home is to, you know, is to a business. I mean, if you look at now with the pandemic, I mean, we're educating from home, we're working for another company from home, you know. Let's start bringing in more businesses. Let's start letting businesses grow right here in the state of Florida.
You answered it in the last question partially, but I just wanted to make sure it was clear. This does not impact any zoning. This doesn't change any zoning changes. Right? This bill, that's not the intent of this bill, correct?
Not the intent of this bill at all. And it specifically states in the bill, it does not change zoning.
Perfect. Thank you.
Representative Daly.
Thank you, Chair. If I could also be recognized for a series.
You are.
Thanks, sir. Thank you, Representative, and thank you for your time this morning. I enjoyed sitting down and talking through some of my concerns with this bill. I just had a couple questions. So would a better bed and breakfast or a vacation rental, is it going to be considered a home-based business?
This is kind of going back to the bill, it says, first and foremost, it is a residential, it's a home first, business second. And it has nothing to do with vacation rentals. That's a completely separate issue. Most vacation rentals are not homes first. They are vacation rentals. So to answer your question, you know, this does not stipulate any industry. However, we still have to go by the local rules and the local rules that are consistent across the board with every other bed and breakfast that's in that area. But to answer your question, it could be.
Okay, so. And I think that's part of my, and I know I'm not getting into debate, Mr. Chair, but if that's part of my concern, and that's why I asked the question, is this de facto deregulation of vacation rentals?
No, that's not the intent at all.
Very good. Okay, and so question, and would you be willing, and I guess here's my concern. There's a difference between what someone does on their 1 acre property, which candidly, I don't care. If you have an acre, 2 acres, do what you want, right? But in my district specifically, you've got zero lot line homes. You've got folks in quiet residential neighborhoods, which is the same reason that I'm fiercely opposed to the vacation rental bill, right? But that kind of impact, would you consider any additional language in this bill that would limit the size of the business, the scope of the business, the size of the property that the business is allowed to operate on? Have you talked about any of that?
You know, I've talked to some folks about it because I have talked to League of Cities. I've talked to multiple cities on the phone about this. And, you know, I respect that, but I don't think that would serve this bill properly. The important part is this, is that anybody should be able to start their own business from their private property. Anybody, just because you have an acre of land, doesn't make you any better or any more capable of having a business than somebody who has a two-bedroom, two-bath, a two-bedroom, two-bath house. You know, those are the people that we need to serve, and those are the people that really this is for them to be able to start their business from their efficiency if they want, and start to work and start to grow their business. And that's the intent. So thank you so much for the question. But I think that would be a disservice to this bill.
Okay. And does your, Mr. Chair, I'm wrapping up. Does your bill apply to HOAs? And if not, why are HOAs treated differently?
So no, HOAs, and I've spoken to them as well. So HOAs are covered under another area. If you join an HOA, this is not a preemption of HOA. It says it multiple times, local government only. So it is absolutely not a preemption of HOAs.
And if a community like mine has a home-based business license requirement so that they're able to track, monitor, and regulate home-based businesses, would that be removed by this bill?
Yes.
Okay. And final question, whose property rights are more important, mine or my neighbor's?
Everybody's. All property rights matter.
I agree. Thanks, sir.
Representative Nixon, you are recognized for questions.
Thank you, Chair. I have a few questions if I could. Okay. Hello, Rep. How are you?
How are you, ma'am?
I'm good. So I have a few questions for you. So you talked about HOAs. I live in a neighborhood. It's a community, but we don't have an HOA, right? So buying a house is one of the largest financial investments most Floridians make. It's the largest I made. Could a home-based business opening up next door negatively impact neighboring property values or impact the quiet enjoyment of neighboring homes?
It shouldn't, because at the end of the day, I mean, with this bill, as it defines home-based businesses, you have the city still has the ability to regulate any noise or any nuisance laws or regulations that they have. And from the street, it still has to look like a residential home, according to whatever the city's codes are. So it does not take away that. So it should not impact.
Okay. Are all parking regulations done through zoning across the state?
So every city has different parking regulations. My city has some pretty strict ones. Whatever the city's regulation they have for parking, that's what it is for the residential areas.
So if there's, like, no parking restrictions through zoning, could someone open up like a bicycle rental shop in a house and have a bunch of customers parking on the street throughout the neighborhood?
I don't know of a city that just has a free fall on parking, but you know, if a city didn't have any parking ordinance and you can do whatever you want, you can park on your lawn, you can park wherever, then whatever that parking ordinance for that city is what it goes by.
Okay, so you just brought up being able to park on your yard and things like that. So, a bunch of my friends are starting to open up their own trucking companies, right? And it's pretty much like a one-driver trucking company. So, would this bill allow for a semi-truck, just the truck itself, not the trailer, if they wanted to park it, say, for instance, in their driveway, would this bill allow for that?
That's up to the city's decision. Mm-hmm. The parking, the exterior, the view from the street, is that's up to how the city ordinances are.
Okay.
So I don't know. It would be on a case by case basis at that point because all the cities are different.
Okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Seeing no.
Mr. Chair, can I?
Representative Robinson.
Yes, sir.
Good morning, Representative. I remember this bill in Commerce a couple times that I served on Commerce, and to me the most important section of the bill is lines 37 and 38, and I wanted to understand from the bill sponsor's perspective what that means to you. And those two lines are, the activities of the home-based business are secondary to the property's use as a residential dwelling. What does that mean to you as the bill sponsor?
So it means to me that the activities of my business will always be second to that to the residence. So if I have a massive office, or part of my office is in my bedroom, right? That space is secondary to being my residence, and that's how I look at the bill. No matter what, first and foremost, it is a residence. It is in a neighborhood. It is where people live and sleep. And I think, you know, that's the important piece that I think I've been trying to really communicate to the cities, that this is a residence first. And we get that. We're not taking away that ability for it to be a residence first. We just are saying that, you know what, if people want to start a business, if they want to have their small business in their home, and they want to have a couple employees and contribute to our economy, let's let them do it. That's what the free market's about. Thank you, sir.
Representative Golf Marcel.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you for taking time to talk to me, Representative, about my concerns with this bill, which I still have a lot of concerns about. I'm not trying to be repetitious, but in a situation like animal control, does this bill, would local governments be preempted for animal control, and would someone be able to start a dog breeding or doggy daycare in a sublot like Rep. Nixon was talking about? Or Rep. Daly, a small lot, be able to start the dog breeding, or either that, or call themselves a dog breeder and have more dogs than a local government would allow?
So in a lot of industries, if you look through, most industries already have a ton of not just statewide regulations, but local regulations that are consistent across the board. As for specifically to what you're saying, again, if the city allows, you know, the rules have to apply. If they have another facility where, like an animal shelter or somewhere, another part of the city, and there's certain rules that apply to them, those are the same rules that apply to this. Now, again, an animal shelter is probably pretty hard to have inside the house. So if it's exterior to the home, and there's no issues with exterior, there's no noise ordinances or nuisance violations, then, I mean, you can have dogs in your house. But there are already other rules and regulations that do apply to those industries, I believe. So.
Follow up?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, Chair. So are you saying then that these regulations that they would go across the board, so a city would not be able to regulate the home any more than they would regulate a commercial business?
Absolutely.
That's across town or in a different zone in the city?
Absolutely. The basic regulations would be the same and consistent across all. And I'll give you a quick example. If I have there's two accountants, one of them is in a storefront, the other one is in a home. They can't go and tack on an extra license or an extra fee for being a home-based business. It has to be consistent. That's all this. That's what this bill is saying. Call it business equality.
Okay. Ranking Member Escamani, you were recognized.
Thank you so much, Sharon. Thank you to the rep for meeting with me too. It was great to talk to you. Just as I'm listening to the debate, one quick question. Obviously, during the pandemic, a lot of folks are working from home, but this bill doesn't really impact them at all, right? Like, you can work from home right now with no problems in the case of folks remote learning or remote teaching or remote being an accountant, correct? That isn't impacting.
Yeah, so
at
if
all.
You work for somebody, there's no, I mean, you can work, you can work from home. There's nothing that, this is specifically to, if I'm my own boss, and my wife and I have our own business. We can have up to two employees, and that's what this applies to.
Okay, members, seeing no additional questions, we are in public testimony. Caesar Gregles from American Prosperity, waving in support. Timothy Nungesser from National Federation of Independent Businesses. Welcome, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And I want to start off just by Tim Nungesser, representing the National Federation of Independent Business here in Florida. I want to start off by thanking the representative for filing this great piece of legislation in front of you. And NFIB, we represent small independent businesses. And I tell you that because, as the representative mentioned, there are a lot of not independent businesses that have thrived because of home-based businesses. Apple, HP, Amazon, Google, Walt Disney World, Mattel, just to name a few. All of those started as home-based businesses. We all know the story of, 1976, Steve Wozniak literally built the first Apple computer in his garage. Today, Apple is worth $2.2 trillion. So that started as a home-based business. This bill, it's our second year out. We had this bill up, and we got through three committees last year. And I didn't realize last year just how important this bill would become. What we didn't foresee is COVID-19 hitting. What we didn't foresee is just how many people were laid off, how many people were put on the unemployment rolls. What we didn't realize is how many people would be at home on unemployment starting a side hustle, trying to bring in extra cash. One of the things that I was doing some research before this committee and just Googled home-based business during COVID, one of the things that popped up, Wall Street Journal article, is it insane to start a business during coronavirus? Millions of Americans don't think so. So folks are out there starting small businesses of their own. And when they're doing that and when they create that home-based business, it's important to understand what they have to go through. For a lot of these home-based business regulations, they are specific to home-based businesses. When you go into a city or a county, you go through the website. In some cases, you can't find anything about home-based businesses, so you have to pick up the phone and call. Well, it turns out when you call some of these cities, you find out that, in fact, you are required to get a permit from the city or a license to operate your home-based business. In many cases, you have to actually submit a floor plan of your home, and you have to write on the floor plan exactly where your home office is going to be or where, inside your garage where you're going to be making widgets for your business. In addition to that, we called around to some of the cities and found out that some cities were charging $500 for an annual fee for a home-based business, which to us was just insane. When we called around, the example we gave was starting a bracelet-making business on Etsy and selling via Etsy, and they wanted to charge $500 a year for that privilege. Another thing that in many cases they have to do is that home-based business then has to go get an inspection. A government official has to walk into your house and tell you, okay, is the computer in the right spot in your home-based office? That just doesn't make any sense to us, and that's what we're after with this bill. What we found is that a lot of people, when they get faced with these types of regulations, especially if they're, again, they just got laid off, they may not have a lot of cash in their pocket, when they call and find out that it's so expensive and so onerous, they abandon their dreams of starting a small business. So I think one of the things we should be looking at as a state is looking, how can we make this easier for people to start a home-based business? So I know the representative mentioned garage use provisions, square footage requirements, arbitrary rules are kind of what we're targeting with this bill. If I could, just for a quick second, I know there were a couple of questions raised earlier, and I just wanted to sort of go back to them. Representative Grieco, I know you mentioned, can you hear me? Can you hear me? Okay, sorry about that. I know, Representative Grieco, you mentioned convenience stores. And that's not something that I hadn't heard before. I would tell you that for a convenience store to be profitable, you're going to have to be able to see them from the street. So if you look at, I believe it's lines 32 through 36, it specifically says that as viewed from the street, the use of the residential property is consistent with residential properties next door. So that convenience store, if they don't have a sign, if they don't have parking spots up front, if they don't have a liquor license from DBPR, they're probably not going to be very successful as a convenience store. They might not be open for very long. The next thing, I know you mentioned strip clubs as well, same thing. They would have to get a license through the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. I don't think they would be in the habit of giving a liquor license to a home-based business. Nothing in the bill preempts that. So I just want to make sure that that's clear. And I know noise ordinances came up quite a bit. I think it's important to understand that nothing in this preempts noise ordinance. If a city wants to craft a noise ordinance, nothing in here stops them from doing it. They just have to put it on the books for everybody. So, and I know I've kind of gone on and on, but we think this is a great bill, and we hope this committee favorably passes it out. And, Mr. Chairman, I'm happy to take any questions if there are any.
Great. Any? Representative Greco.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm going to ask you another scenario. Say I own a house in a residential neighborhood, keep it primarily residential. I live there, and I decide to convert the rest of my house into a soup kitchen where my 501c3 has decided to invite all of my homeless residents to come by for three meals a day. Obviously, parking wouldn't be an issue. So would that be allowed under this three-page bill?
I guess you can take a shot at it, even though you didn't write the bill.
Sure. Yeah, happy to, Mr. Chairman. I've read literally hundreds of ordinances across the state. I have not seen any ordinances dealing with soup kitchens. So, using that sort of line of thought, I don't know which ones would be preempted in that scenario.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Up next, David Cruz from the League of Cities. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, committee members. My name is David Cruz with the Florida League of Cities. I've appreciated the dialogue the committee's had today. I've appreciated the dialogue I've had with the stakeholders and with the sponsor of the bill. We've had some great discussions as to what the bill does or doesn't do. And I think it's important to clarify from the very beginning that our cities are the biggest supporters of small businesses out there. There is not a single city official or city commissioner that would not want to support small business. They want Apple Computer to open up in a garage in their house, in their city. They want that business. They want to create those jobs in their cities. By the way, if Apple's listening, it is a miracle that they were able to get started in California, one of the most regulatory states in the country. Please come to Florida. We are much more business friendly.
They're listening.
So, zoning. Zoning's been an important part of this discussion, and I just wanted to start off by going straight to zoning and actually looking at the bill. Line 41 of the bill, I think, is in a very important piece of this bill. It specifically says that a home-based business may operate in an area zoned for residential use. Our opinion of that language is pretty black and white. It says that zoning, if it's zoned for a residential house, you could open any type of commercial business. And so I think it's important that we look at that line 41 as we go forward through this process. I think we're preempted on controlling home-based businesses based on zoning. Cities that currently have home-based business regulations or ordinances or limitations are actually very common sense ones. They might be things like hours of operation. They might try to limit noise, odors, fumes, dust. They might limit commercial signage on a property. And they might even go so far as to say that specific kinds of businesses shouldn't be operating in a residential setting because they don't flow harmlessly. They harm neighboring properties. So examples of those might be a massage parlor or a restaurant or a mechanic. Some cities go so far as to say these are not appropriate for residential settings. So if the bill, so I would say going forward, here's some ideas that I would lay out for the sponsor, for the committee members to consider that perhaps would make this bill better. The common sense restrictions, things like noise, hours of operations are very important. The noise ordinance discussion that we've had is something that we should also keep in mind. It's not the noise ordinance for the residential neighborhood that we would get to apply to a commercial home-based business. It's the noise ordinance as applied to a commercial business that could be in a very downtown area that has a completely different type of noise regulations. We wouldn't be able to apply that residential noise ordinance. So I would suggest that we look at some of these common sense limitations that make sense so that it would not harm neighboring property owners. I would say that there's a distinct, that we should look closely at the difference between what kind of home-based businesses are operating. The bill is silent on what you operate. It basically allows you to open up any kind of business. And I would suggest to the committee that there is a big difference between somebody in their garage making candles and selling them on Etsy versus someone that is doing manufacturing widgets and using heavy equipment at all hours of the night and day. There is a big difference between those two uses, and so I would suggest that we try to balance those so that they're more compatible with a residential neighborhood. And then the last point I wanted to make real briefly, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the indulgence, is that I tried to look at what other states have done in this area and if there's been other states that have been preempted as far as home-based businesses, and I had a really, really hard time finding other states that have done something like this. The only example I was able to find was the state of Tennessee. And they went ahead and preempted counties from regulating home-based businesses, but they said that a home-based business could not have more than $3,000 a year in gross sales. I think that would be a smart way to look at this as well, so that the size, the intensity of the business could be limited by the gross sales of the business. So I would suggest that perhaps that's something we could look at for this bill as well. Happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chair.
Thank you for your testimony.
Mr. Chair, I have a question.
Representative Robinson.
Good morning. And I believe we had a question on this, and the bill sponsor answered the question, but I'm curious from your perspective or the league's perspective on, and I, by the way, I'll caveat my question by saying I don't read the bill this way, but do you read the bill this way as possibly backdooring vacation rentals in the bill, and what's your position on that?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. So, the vacation rental debate is a robust discussion that you all had last week in this committee. We voiced our opinion on that, and we think that's something that should be controlled at the local level, where local solutions could be tailored specific to each community. I don't think it is the intent of the sponsor to open a backdoor to vacation rentals through this bill based on the conversations I've had with him. I would certainly think that it would not hurt to clarify in the bill that this does not apply to vacation rentals if that was something that would provide comfort to all sides, so that we're just dealing with home-based businesses in this and not a way to open up a hotel and a house.
Mr. Cruz, I have a quick question. If he did put that exemption for vacation rentals, would you support the bill then?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Fantastic question. I think we would need more clarity on these other provisions, the common sense regulations I had mentioned.
That was it, just that question.
Yep.
Thank you. Seeing no additional questions, thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Okay. Up next, Diego Acheva from Americas for Prosperity. Welcome back.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Diego Echeverry, and I work for Americans for Prosperity. I'm here to ask for your support of HB 403. The act of starting a new business is difficult, to say the least, as anyone who's tried can tell you. It's risky, it's difficult to take an idea and turn it into a business. It's especially difficult for many people to keep afloat during an economic trying time like the pandemic that we're currently facing. Creating jobs is very, very difficult, as many of you know. Many entrepreneurs start of their garages, their living rooms, their home offices. While you're building a business, scaling is a huge issue. It's especially a challenge with regard to keeping costs down. HB 403 streamlines that process in a very important way by allowing certain businesses to operate out of a residence without any additional restrictions placed on them just because their office is in a living room instead of a downtown office building. As we grapple with the effects of COVID-19, this is important because it helps keep people away from the large groups if you're forced to work in a big building with many different companies. As we move forward to a world where we have defeated COVID-19, this bill will be impactful because it removes the hefty upfront cost of renting out an office and this will enable entrepreneurs to realize their dream of starting a business. In both ways, HB 403 is a winner because it provides health and economic benefits for all Floridians. Members of the committee, AFP and our activists strongly believe in reducing unnecessary regulation and promoting free market solutions to create a better Florida for all. We ask for your favorable support of HB 403, and we thank the sponsor.
Thank you for your testimony. Up next, Jimmy Smith from America's for Prosperity.
Thank you, Chairman, for hearing this good bill. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this issue forward. My name is Jimmy T. Smith. I'm the Coalition's Director for the Concerned Veterans for America, an organization that advocates for policies that preserve freedom and prosperity for all of our
families. Excuse me, Mr. Smith, because we don't sanitize in between each speaker, if you don't mind keeping your mask on when we speak. Thank you.
I don't mind at all. You know, starting a new business faces many challenges. Anybody who's done it will tell you. Veterans understand this more than almost anyone. Veterans are 45% more likely to be self-employed than non-veterans. In fact, 10% of all veterans own a business. And veteran-owned firms employ 5.8 million individuals across this great nation. As veterans, we remain organized and self-sufficient, trained as we are. And we thrive and are proud to support our communities through our businesses and the people we employ and the value we provide our communities. But that drive, strong as it is held back by red tape and overregulation that can get in the way. That's why Concerned Veterans for America supports HB 403. HB 403 cuts through that red tape and allows for veterans and all Floridians to make their dream come true to starting their own business. As veterans, we know what it's like to serve. And that's why our organization supports this bill. Just because we came home doesn't mean we've stopped serving. I ask for your support of HB 403 so that we can allow veterans and all Floridians who wish to serve their communities through their businesses the chance to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Smith, and thank you for your service in the military and as a former member. Thank you for your service here today.
Cool. Thank you.
Members, we are in debate on the bill. Debate. Representative Greco, you are recognized.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think it goes without saying that, at least for now, I'm down on the bill, and it should be like a 25-page bill, not a 3-page bill. You know, I hear a lot, and I've heard it from you, Representative, but I've heard it a lot of times, especially this session, about that's not the intent of the bill. I hear that over and over in a lot of these committees, and I can appreciate, and I strongly believe that's what you believe, but let's call them the unintended consequences of the bill, I think that some of the questions alone have kind of pointed them out. You know, we don't want a rabbit hole about the hundreds of hypotheticals that we could throw out there based upon this language. And it's because it's so broad and because on some level it's so arbitrary, it really does. It says it doesn't affect zoning, but it essentially does away with zoning. You know, and where I live, what's tied in with a residential area is the inability to conduct most commercial operations. You know, if the goal is to allow the one-off attorney or a physician or dentist or home-based business in the garage, then let's draw up a statewide standard, 25, 30 pages, and go through all of these things. Because the big fear, whether you live in a single-family home neighborhood in my district or in Chair Rommel's district, which I spend a lot of time in Naples, in downtown Naples, and I'm very familiar with those neighborhoods, and I think of those as two perfect examples of where people would be deathly afraid of this type of bill allowing these unintended consequences. And they come from two things. One, the number of customers. So if it's a home-based business, you know, somebody's trying to be the next Apple or Amazon, you don't really have customers coming and going. And you can talk about parking, but with Uber and the ability to walk or bike or do other things, you could have dozens and dozens of customers come in. Let's say you turn your garage into a CrossFit gym or going back to my soup kitchen analogy, you know, these types of issues. People are very concerned about, would be concerned about the number of customers impacting their quality of life in what is, for most people, their most significant investment. And then the other part of it is the independent contractor. You know, we only have two employees that are on payroll, because that's what an employee is per federal and state law. But you could have hundreds of independent contractors. And I use the ridiculous example of turning my living room into a strip club. But, you know, there are other types of businesses, dozens of types that I can come up with and give you the same type of borderline ridiculous examples that would be legalized and codified as part of this law. So I think that it's 3 pages, probably about 25 pages short of what we need to do, because I am supportive of the idea of home-based businesses. And if we can create a model, a statewide model that encourages that without negatively impacting people's quality of life in their nest egg, then I'm all for it. But for today, I'm down on the bill.
Thank you. Representative Nixon.
Thank you, Chair. And so I just kind of have to echo the same sentiments that my colleague just made. Look, I appreciate what you're trying to do. I'm a small business owner as well. I actually had a home-based business starting out. But my main concern, much like my colleague stated, is the fact that of these unintended consequences, right? And so, again, speaking to the point I spoke about earlier in regards to middle-class families, lower-middle-class families that don't necessarily live in HOA regulated communities, right? Like if these businesses, say for instance, like I stated earlier, a semi-truck, just the truck itself, that's just the one person driver, or other businesses are actually going to affect and impact their quality of life, maybe possibly lower their property values after they have pulled themselves up by their bootstraps and saved money, thousands and thousands upon dollars to purchase their homes. That's an issue for me. And, you know, having done the same thing myself in regards to purchasing a house at the age of 25 and knowing that was my one biggest investment, and just knowing that almost anybody can set up shop, that's a huge concern. So I'm going to have to, unfortunately, vote this bill down as well.
Representative Daly.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I'll be brief because a lot of my concerns have already been covered by my colleagues. But so, Representative, I appreciate your time this morning and the discussion we had. Obviously, we don't necessarily see eye to eye on the entirety of the bill. I have concerns just based on the very nature of my community. Right, you're talking about a very planned residential community that folks buy into. They buy into a high aesthetic standard. They buy into certain restrictions and expectations when they bought that home, when they made that biggest investment to come to that community. And I think there's a stark difference between what goes on in that zero lot line home and what my neighbor does in that zero lot line home versus somebody that lives on an acre of land, right? We talked about that earlier in the questions. So that's my concern here. I'm certainly supportive of home-based businesses. That's how I started my business. But I paid my fee to the city of Coral Springs because that's how they track, that's how they regulate home-based businesses. That's how they make sure that if I do something that I'm not supposed to be doing, they're able to address it, right? They can actually find me, because I'm required to have that license. This bill would do away with that, right? And so I think the overarching issue that I always seem to have with some bills that come before this committee is we talk about property rights, property rights, property rights. I said the same exact thing last week. What about the property rights of your neighbor? When I bought my home, I didn't expect to buy next to a vacation party house. I didn't expect to buy next to a mechanic shop that opens in the garage. Right, if a person wants to sit in their bedroom and pound out on the keyboard and be an accountant, do whatever thing it is, they're certainly good and be the next Apple. God bless them. And by the way, come to District 97 and do it. But my concern is when you have an unintended consequence, implication for your neighbors, we forget about that person's property rights all too often. So today I'm down on the bill, but I look forward to continuing our conversation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Representative Goff Marcel.
Thank you, Chair. And I echo the same comments that my colleagues said, but I also noticed that there's no requirement that the home-based business owner be the actual homeowner in this bill. So that could be another problem, because there could be people renting out residential homes and then having a home-based business in there. And I also see a huge difference between the accountant and then all these other businesses that we've been talking about, especially the ones with the noise situation and being able to regulate noise in downtown of the city would be so much different than in the residential areas. So I'm down on the bill right now, but I am very supportive of home-based businesses, and especially ones where all the ones that we've been doing because of the pandemic, and most office-based businesses, a lot of them can be done in the home without disturbing neighbors. So I am for that, but I'm down on the bill today, though.
Representative Harding.
I'll tell you, I've started my small business in the at home, and I support this bill because it defends people like myself who've done that, created jobs from home. And, you know, we talk about wanting Apple to come to Florida or the next Apple. This is about the next Apple. This is about us actually putting our action behind our words on this and actually working to find who the next Apple is and to make sure they have the freedom to be able to start their business and grow it. So I'm all in support, and thanks for your courage for bringing the bill forward.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative, for bringing this good bill. Members, I appreciate the good debate that we had here. And I think some things we just have to remember. Currently, and hopefully never, local government doesn't regulate folks that work at home but work for a company. They work for, you know, IBM or, you know, whoever they work for. They have never regulated or tried to regulate them, and I don't think that they're going to. And obviously during the pandemic, more and more people have worked from home, and again, if they work from home for, you know, IBM and they're very noisy or there's too much, you know, noise or, you know, they're being destructive outside, there's already local ordinances. On a personal note, the first business I opened, I was 14 years old, and, you know, that was in 1976, and if my parents had to go pay a fee or bring a sketch of the home and where I was going to put my desk and a phone, I'm sure my parents wouldn't have done that. And where I lived in New Jersey, the only way to get ahead in life, because, you know, it was in the 70s, it was, you know, first I was 14, but to get ahead, you had to go start your own business, and I did that. And, you know, moving forward now, you know, I happen to live in Naples. I live in a nice gated community, and I've heard some of the comments about, oh my God, there's going to be traffic and people are going to be, there's continuous, you know, amount of people coming in, disturbing my neighborhood, changing my neighborhood. And, you know, and that could happen. But I know in my gated community that you have to actually go through a guard to get in. Amazon trucks are all over the place all the time. And we don't, and we shouldn't regulate them. I mean, it's just what's happened in the world today. And as people are trying to, you know, find their American dream, we should do everything that we possibly can to take every barrier to entry in that, because, you know, the best way to get out of poverty is to start your own business. You know, I appreciate your efforts here, and, you know, thank you. You are recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, everybody on the committee. I was able to reach out to most of everybody and have a good conversation with everybody. Go over the concerns, go over the things that they love and they don't love about this bill. At the end of the day, when I went out and campaigned to the citizens of my district, one of the things I told them is I will do everything in my power to make sure that they have the ability to start their own business, to grow their own business, and provide for their family. And at the end of the day, that's what this is about, is for people to be able to take their own and say, I want to be my own boss, and start their business and help the community grow and help the local economy grow. So in my opinion, cities should welcome this. So that being said, I really appreciate all the questions and everything. Looking forward to continue talking about it, and I close.
Thank you. Representative G. Lombardo, having closed in a bill, Amanda, will you call the roll?
Representatives Daley?
No.
Escamani?
No.
G. Lombardo?
Yes.
Goff Mercil?
No.
Gregory?
Yes.
Grieco?
No, ma'am.
Harding?
Yes.
Mariano?
Yes.
Nixon?
No.
Umfroy?
No.
Overdorf?
Yes, ma'am.
Plakun? Robinson?
Yes.
Rodriguez?
Yes.
Toledo?
Yes.
Chair Rommel?
Yes.
The bill is-
Members, by your vote, we will show HB 403 home-based business reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, very successful meeting today, and I'm glad to see that nobody threatened any of our political careers today. And with that, Representative Escamani moves, we rise, and without objection, the meeting is adjourned.